and verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord came unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, and seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And then Exodus 2 and 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And so this morning, just for a few moments, I want to preach to you this message entitled, The Faith of Isaac. The faith of Isaac. Could we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this beautiful spirit that is in this house today. Lord, for your presence that is touching us. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would minister in this place, and before we're done today, that we could have an encounter with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts and our minds. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together for the Lord? In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. The faith of Isaac. This story has been used many times. I have preached it many times and taught from this series of verses many times. But when I was reading it over the last couple of weeks, thinking about Father's Day and what I would talk about, it stood out to me that Isaac was a willing participant in this process. Most scholars, they have various opinions of how old Isaac was when this story took place. All I found agree that he was somewhere between 6 and 37. However, most of them, the reason they say 6 and 37 is because they know that he was weaned from his mother and that his mother passed away when he was 37. And so it's somewhere in that. But most agree that this young man was somewhere between 15 and 25 years old. And I don't know about you fathers, but when Simeon got 15, he was taller than I. He was no doubt stronger than I. Faster, of course, than I. because he had less to carry, I'm sure. Obviously. Not to mention my age and his age and the difference between the two. But I can only imagine how difficult it would be for me to take my son, not only emotionally, of course, as we always talk about how strong Abraham's faith must have been to obey the word of God when he said to offer your son, thine only son, to me on an altar. But I can imagine how physically difficult it must have been or would have been if Isaac would have resisted. And so obviously we know that Isaac was old enough to recognize that if you're going to sacrifice unto the Lord, if you have the wood and you have the fire and you have the knife, we notice in Scripture that he said to his father, he said, Father, where is the lamb? And so I see the significance of this, that he was old enough to recognize that there was not a lamb. And one significance of it is that he must have been around a few worship services before. He understood that there was a sacrifice in the process of worshiping God. And so this was not his first, can I just call it a church service? He had been there before. He had worshiped with his father before, and he recognized that there was something missing. And his father spoke to him these prophetic words that were not only prophetic for the moment, but were reaching down through the millennia and being prophetic about the coming of the one true spotless lamb, which is Jesus Christ. He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And so it was not only true for that moment, but it was also true for us in the future. And so we see this process as Isaac and Abraham are going to the top of Mount Moriah, and we see them arrive and they build the altar. No doubt Isaac helped build the altar that he was going to ultimately be bound to and be offered upon. And so he helped his father build the altar. And then when it came time for the sacrificing, the Bible says that Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. It does not show that there was any kind of struggle, that there was any kind of altercation, that he had to bind him and hold him, that he had to somehow knock him out, or there was no process of that. But we see that Isaac was a willing participant in this process. No doubt he had fear. No doubt he did not understand. But yet there was something in the faith of Isaac that was not only in the God that Abraham served, but he had observed and he had watched his father long enough to know that if my father says God said something, then I'm going to do it. And so here we are today. I want us to realize that we have such a significant process in the lives of our children. And I want our children to recognize in their father, and as I've taught in our headship series, that it is not just a physical father. You may be a single mother here today, or you may be a widow, or you might be someone that has a husband that is not in the church, and so they're not walking in the faith with you. But I want you to know that the men of this church, the fathers of this church, we stand together with your families, and we want to show your children that worship and sacrifice and giving is a part of a beautiful life that comes only through the principles of Scripture. And so there must have been something in the process of Isaac's upbringing that he recognized this walk with God, that Abraham had. I'm sure he had heard his father say something like this to Sarah. Hey, I was out on the outskirts of the camp and I heard the voice of God and he told me such and such and he told us to do this and he told us to go there. And then he watched as the words took shape in his family's life and they began to gather up the tent. And he might ask his father, "Father, where are we going?" "Well, we're going to this place." "Why are we going there, Daddy?" "Because God told us to go there." And then he also observed that this process of faith that Abraham was living resulted in blessing. The Bible says that everything that Abraham touched was blessed. Everything that was in his household began to multiply. And so Isaac observed that when they followed the voice of God, when they followed the principles of God, that it resulted in a blessed life. And so the reason I read the verses in Exodus is because this is the very first time in the Bible where it mentions all three of these names together. It says that he remembered the covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And on through the scripture, we see this time after time after time. It mentions the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to know today, I want to live my life where God is not just Kevin's God, but oh, I want my God, I want my Savior to be Anna's Savior. I want my Savior to be Simeon's Savior. And when they have children, I don't want their God just to be their God, but I want it to be their children's God. And so today, the faith of Isaac was not just in Abraham, but it was in Abraham's God. And he lived in such a way that he gave himself in faith. Amen. Can you imagine if your father said, "Hey, we're going to a mountain," and you get there to have church, and you realize that you're the sacrifice? I don't know how you would feel, but I would say, "Dad, are you sure? Are you sure you heard from God?" But apparently, Abraham had lived in such a way where Isaac did not question. And Isaac had heard these words, I'm sure, throughout his life. He heard his father say, "Son, I know that you have an older brother named Ishmael, but I want you to know that God told me that he did not choose Ishmael, he chose you. And son, I want you to know that you are a promise. And that God told me that he chose you to be the father of many nations. That he chose you to be the progenitor of our line of people. I want you to know that he chose you to be the promised son." And so when he climbed that mountain and he laid himself down on the altar, not only did Abraham believe that God could raise him up, but somewhere down deep in the heart of Isaac, he heard the voice of his father say, "Hey, you are the chosen one. You are the promised son. You are the one that God's going to use to bless all the earth." And the Bible says that he laid himself down. He was a part of the process. Amen. Without struggle, without trouble, he was laid on the altar. Amen. He believed. He believed. He believed that Abraham believed. I've noticed that faith is contagious. Faith is contagious. The Bible says that Abraham showed no hesitation. There, I'm sure that even though his heart was worried, concerned, "What am I going to tell Sarah when I get back to the camp that I offered her son, her only son, to God? What am I going to say? What am I going to do?" But the Bible doesn't show any kind of hesitation. Romans 4 and 16, it says, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which of the law is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they are, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And then verse 19, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Hebrews 11 and 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac, being blessed, Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. And so I think it's significant that not only did Abraham by faith offer up Isaac, the Bible says that he offered him up, that he gave him to the Lord, his only begotten son, but he believed that God could raise him up because he knew who the promise came through. But that's not where the verses end. In verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac. I'm so glad that Abraham's faith was not just Abraham's faith, but it was translated to his son. It was translated to Isaac because he lived it in front of him. He walked it even when it was hard, even when he didn't understand, even when he didn't know what was going on. Abraham walked it, and his faith not only was his faith, but now it became the faith of Isaac. And so he believed Isaac would live. He believed God was able to raise him up. And so now the God of Abraham became the God of Isaac. And when it came time to bless his grandchildren, the children of Joseph, Joseph brought his children into his father and he placed his hands upon their heads. And we know the story, and that's another sermon for another day, but he crossed his arms and he prayed for the eldest and the youngest in different ways. But we see that Isaac's faith was passed down beyond himself. And so fathers, single mothers, widows, those that have children and your husband is not in church, I want you to know that we must allow the faith of us to be passed down to our children. I don't want these young people and these children to think, oh, that's Pastor Shindall's church. That's my mom and dad's church. That's my grandma's church. No. I want it to be their church. Man. I don't want God to be their mama's church, their daddy's church, their mama's God, their daddy's God, or their grandma's God. I want them to think, oh, that's my God. And so the faith of Isaac was founded and grounded and germinated in the fertile soil of Abraham's faith. Because Abraham sacrificed. Because Abraham walked when God said walk. When God said go, Abraham went. And now the faith of Isaac was not just in his father, but it was ultimately in his father's God. And watch this. Not only was his faith in Abraham's God, but God returned the favor. And in Exodus, when a king arose that did not know Joseph and began to bring harshness and hardness down on the children of Israel, the Bible says the Lord heard their cry. He heard them. He heard their pain, their suffering. And he remembered his covenant. And his covenant was not just Abraham's covenant, but his covenant was an Isaac covenant. But it doesn't stop there. His covenant was not only an Abraham covenant, it was not only an Isaac covenant, but now he said, and of Jacob. I want to live my life, and I challenge you today to live your life in such a way that not only do your children see you walk in faith, but they learn to walk in faith. And they walk in faith so strongly and so devoutly and so faithfully that not only does God become your God and their God, but now God is a God of their children and their children. This is not just something that we live for a moment, but it's a lifestyle that we must. It's who we are. We must pass it down. We must pass it down. Amen. As I said in the first hour, you cannot guarantee that your child is going to live for God. But oh, through prayer and faithfulness, give them every opportunity. They've got to make the decision for themselves. But oh, give them the opportunity that when they look for faith, they can find it in you. Oh, when they turn their heart back to God, they know where to go because you're still there. They know where to find it because you're still praying. You're still worshiping. You're still giving. Oh, I'm telling you, it's the faith of Isaac. Let them find you faithful so they know where to come. Can we stand? The prodigal son, the Bible says he was out of his mind. He was out of his mind. He didn't know why he had ended up where he was. He came to himself, the Bible says. There he was in the pig pen, trying to fill his belly with the husk. Not even with the corn, but just the husk. That just the leftovers that the pigs wouldn't eat. He came to himself. Well, I'll tell you, Mama, Daddy, when he came to himself, he didn't say, oh, I wonder where Daddy is. No, he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to my father's house. Because when I get there, even the servants are better off than I am. And so he didn't have to call Daddy and say, hey, where are you? Where do you live now? Where are you setting up camp now? He knew right where to go. And he come walking down that familiar road back to the truth of his daddy's house. Amen. And so don't be discouraged, Mama. Don't be discouraged, Father. Just stay right where you are and keep praying. Keep worshiping. Because the faith of Isaac is tied to your faith today. And so you just keep praying. You've already instilled it in them. They know where home is. They know where it is. They'll come back. You just stay faithful. Oh, yes, you stay faithful today. This altar's open. Can we come and give our hearts and our minds and our lives to him again? Oh, yeah. Oh, he recognized that his father, was a man of faith. He trusted in him. Yes, if you're here today, and maybe you've just come for Father's Day, and it's been a while since you've been in the presence of God, you can repent too. You can come home today. You can come home today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.